Let's call this meeting of the House Fisheries Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 5:03 p.m. Thursday, April 5th, 2012. Present today are Representative Kawasaki, Representative Osterman, Representative Miller, and myself, Chairman Representative Thompson. On today's agenda, we will be holding confirmation hearings on the administration's appointments to the Board of Fisheries. Up for consideration today is Carl Johnstone, a reappointment, and Orville Huntington, a new appointee to the board. First, let's take care of a little housekeeping. Make sure you turn your cell phone off. Even to vibrate for some reason in this room interferes with the recording equipment, so please. Both of the Board of Fisheries appointees will be with the committee telephonically today. We have Carl Johnstone. Mr. Johnstone is online. Are you there, Carl? Whoop.
Orville's online.
Orville's online. Okay, we'll move to Orville. Orville Huntington, are you online?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you'd place your name and your affiliations on record, the committee will be ready to hear your comments, and please tell the committee a little bit about yourself and why you wish to serve on the Board of Fisheries.
My name is Orville H. Huntington. I work with Tennis Conference. And,
Orville, can you get a little closer to the microphone or to your phone?
Thank you. Orville H. Huntington, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you very much.
I work for Tanana Chiefs. I live in Husky, Alaska. I've lived there all my life, and I'm the son of James Huntington, who's on the Board of Fish before me. And I got a degree from UAF, and I live in Husky with my two daughters.
Why did you wish to be on the Board of Fish?
I just volunteered because I felt like I could be fair to all the users of fisheries resources in the state of Alaska. And I thought maybe Interior would be well represented by me on the board.
Okay. Is there committee members have questions? Representative Osterman.
Yeah, thank you. Orville, are you currently serving on the board?
No, sir. I just applied for the board.
Okay. You recognize how much time it's going to take to be involved with the Board of Fish?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, thanks, Orville, for submitting your name for the Board of Fish. I'll just start out with some questions based on some of the based on the application that we have in front of us. Can you tell me how you would define a subsistence user? And you don't have to have the technical terms, but if you just sort of talk to us about that.
Well, a subsistence user is anyone who relies on fish and wildlife for part of their what they eat and what they have for their own culture, whether it's sport fishing or sports hunting or subsistence hunting. It's all the same, really.
We've been joined by Representative Herron and Vice Chair Johnson. Representative Kawasaki?
That's good enough for now.
Further questions? Representative Herron.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Huntington, just by your last name and zip code, are you part of the famous Huntington family?
Yes, Sidney Huntington, who retired off the Board of Game, is my uncle. And Jimmy Huntington, who is a legislator and on the Board of Fish, is my dad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Huntington, I got a couple of questions. Because of the extensive family you have, I was just wondering, as a board member, should a board member be allowed to vote on issues in which they or their family members will gain financially as a result of their vote?
Well, No, absolutely not. I don't think it's right that we vote any time there's something to be gained. I think it should be non-biased and fair to all the users.
As a follow-up, how many of your family members fish commercially?
Right now, I don't think there's any. There's no more commercial fishing in the interior region, but when it was open, my cousins fished Gilbert Huntington and Roger Huntington.
I was looking up in the records, and I noticed that there were 9 Huntingtons that have been permit holders from back to 2010, and that's why I was asking the question.
Yes, sir. I was one of them. I let my license sunset because I wasn't getting any use out of it, and I just found it was better to actually work than to try to fish. There's no money in it.
Not meaning this to sound wrong, but I was looking at your resume and something kind of jumped out at me that I wanted to ask about. You talked about protecting Aboriginal rights of Native people, and this Aboriginal rights were abolished under ANSCA, Article 8, Section 15, and the Constitution says that no exclusive rights of fisheries. So I was just curious about your feelings on those and that topic.
Yeah, that was, I think, written when I worked for Fish and Wildlife Service, and it was just something that I work with a lot of tribes, and I think the word Aboriginal didn't quite mean what it means in as far as the federal government and the state government. But yeah, there's no Aboriginal rights in the state of Alaska at this time, except for maybe Metlakatla, maybe.
We've been joined by Representative Pruitt also. Further questions from board members? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks again, Orville. Can you tell me how your work at TCC and the Wildlife and Parks Director position would make your serving on the Board of Fisheries, or the experience that you've gained from that job, make your experience valuable to the Board of Fisheries?
Well, I think I work with a lot of partners, a lot of people from west coast of Alaska, Bristol Bay, and around Nome, all those villages, and then AVCP, and then, of course, the interior. I know almost everyone in the 22 villages of Tanner Chiefs Conference, and then I also collaborate outside the area whenever I testify at the Northern Pacific Marine Management Council. I try not to say negative things. I always testify on science or whatever positive thing that can come of management.
Representative Kawasaki has a follow-up.
Yep, follow-up. Just thanks, Orville. Can you tell me then, is there any sort of education or knowledge that you feel that you might lack being a member of the Board of Fisheries? Or that you would need more study on?
Yes, I think I'm really good on the Bering Sea and the interior rivers, but I'm really weak on the southeast side. I would rely on whoever's on the board from that area to answer those questions, and I would just be unbiased and more listen than anything else. And South Central, I'm not very keen on either. I don't really have a lot of knowledge about it. I just know what I hear when I'm in the meetings.
So, if I could follow up.
Representative Kawasaki, follow up tomorrow.
Thank you. And we don't. I don't think any of the members of the Fisheries Committee expect that you would know every region in depth. But can you just tell me then how you would come to a decision or render a decision? What is the process by which you would do that? As far as public participation, using the advisory councils as guidance, using the department to guide you in those types of decisions, and how you would render the decision?
Well, most times I depend on the Department of Fish and Game. Their staff seems to have the best science, so I rely on them the most, and then if there's a concern between them and a local group, then I'll hear both sides, but as long as you can defend it scientifically, and then I'll support it. But if you can't, then it doesn't matter if it's from my own backyard. I won't support it if it's not, I'm not able to defend a decision.
Great, thanks. And then one more.
Follow up, Representative Kawasaki.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Orville. Just one last question. The only thing that we have in our bill packet is a one-page item that describes you, and it was quoted here, but it's written in third person. Can you tell me who wrote that? Or
I think it was John Moeller or Jason Healy. And I did send my resume in to them, and it was already in the board of I applied for fisheries on the federal subsistence board, but I think I was a little bit too pro-state for them.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Huntington, this is Representative Thompson one more time. I don't know how quite to ask this question, but, you know, we've got to be careful that we have people on the board because they're from all over the state with differing ideas, that they can stay focused and not get upset with other people. And I was just wondering about in 2004, you had a court case involving harassment, and I just wondered if you could maybe explain that so we know that it's not a temper problem, if you can understand.
Yeah, no, that was related to an incident in Louisiana, and actually was right before my wife died, and there was a lot of it was a hard time in my life, but I pleaded no contest, and it was set aside by the court. It was not a anger problem.
Okay. Further questions from the board for Mr. Huntington? Well, thank you, Mr. Huntington. We'll now open up for public testimony. Is there anyone in the room or online who would like to comment on the appointment of Mr. Huntington to the Board of Fisheries? Seeing nobody in the room, I do have quite a few people online. Quite a few. First, we'll go to Rod Arno, calling in from Palmer. You there, Rod?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Thank you and the House Fisheries Committee for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Rod Arno, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Council, a statewide organization of over 10,000 Alaskans who hunt, fish, trap, and enjoy the outdoors. AOC has participated in the process of allocating fisheries resources in Alaska since before statehood. Lately, Mr. Chairman, we have observed a disturbing trend. The trend is that the governor is nominating and the legislature is confirming people to the Board of Fisheries who do not know the laws that are working with it. At a minimum, the AOC expects members appointed to the Board of Fisheries to understand Article 8, Section 3, 15, and 17, commonly referred to as the Common Use Clauses of the State Constitution. The Alaska Supreme Court has affirmed and reaffirmed in a number of decisions what the framers meant when they wrote the words, "All Alaskans have equal rights to fish and game." As a result of this situation, Mr. Chairman, members of the Chitna Dipnetters, many of whom live in your district, have had to finance a legal action against the Board of Fisheries all the way to the Alaska Supreme Court. The basic issue is the board ignores the Common Use Clause. We have reviewed the application of Mr. Huntington and are concerned about something as written. He has stated that, and I quote, "committed to protecting the Aboriginal rights of Native peoples, continuing to live a subsistence lifestyle and preserve the cultural beliefs associated with that way of life." Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Huntington has simply said that he had supported the subsistence way of life, AOC would have no cause for concern. The Alaska Supreme Court has ruled that all Alaskans can choose to be subsistence users, and we have members who participate in a subsistence lifestyle. I want to be clear that subsistence is not the issue here. If he had said he wanted to support Native culture beliefs, again, we would have no cause for concern. AOC members engage in a variety of belief systems, but this statement that he wants to protect Aboriginal rights is a cause of concern. It is settled law that the Aboriginal rights were extinguished under ANCSCA, and it is also a question in our mind how Mr. Huntington would reconcile what he perceives as subsistence as Aboriginal rights with the Common Use Clause of the Alaska Constitution. There's no wiggle room here, Mr. Chairman. We are all equal when it comes to advocating fisheries resources. No one has any right in this process than anyone else. Mr. Chairman, there may be more on the record that we are not aware of at this time, but Mr. Huntington may have clarified this point to satisfaction of some, but it is troubling that he wrote it in the first place. For this reason, Mr. Chairman, AOC cannot support the governor's nomination of Mr. Huntington at this time. Thank you, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Representative Osterman has a question for you, Mr. Arno.
Yeah, thank you, Rod. The sentence that you just read of Mr. Huntington, you didn't read it all the way through, and it also says, as it consistent to state and federal law. Does that mean any difference to you as the AOC, or is it just that you only want to read the first part of his sentence?
Through the chair, committee member Osterman. Not just for sake of time, I left it out. I can read it right here, and it doesn't make a bit of difference, because what is it that is consistent with state and federal law that acknowledges Aboriginal rights in Alaska?
Well, if there's no law, then it's a mute subject, isn't it?
Correct. It is a mute subject, so why would you put that on there that that's what you are advocating for when you wouldn't advocate consistent with state statutes as corrected by numerous court decisions, the Madison, the Kenaitse, the McDowell, and the Peyton, that were all equal at having the opportunity to participate in subsistence fisheries.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Kawasaki has a question.
Yep, sort of a statement too. Thanks, Rod, for being online. The entire bio, and it's not a lot of information or backup for this fish Board of Fish member, but it's written in third person, and so I asked who wrote it, and he believes that it was somebody in the governor's office that wrote it for him, so I don't know if that changes it or anything in your mind, but he seems to have answered the question when asked by the chairman about what he meant. But anyways, I just wanted to let you know that it sounds like he might not have even written this himself. It might have been written for him.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Kawasaki. Yep, I did hear that, and that was why in the last column I said unless there's other information that we weren't aware of, and then I'd have to go back and ask the governor's office how come that they would have put that line in there if they didn't feel that was appropriate. And again, you know, that's the conflict that we're having and why we're, you know, before the Supreme Court right now with the Board of Fisheries is their inability to understand what the corrected statutes and regulations are when it comes to allocation for Alaskan residents for subsistence fisheries.
All right. Is there any other questions to Mr. Arno from the committee? Mr. Arno, thank you very much for your testimony today. We'll move on to from the Kenai LIO, Monty Roberts. Monty, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, if you place your name and affiliation on the record, we'll hear your testimony on Mr. Huntington.
My name is Monty Roberts. I have no affiliation, and I'm here just, and I appreciate the questions you guys asked, and that cleared some things up for me, and actually I'll leave the decision up to you. I'm not going to support or not support this confirmation.
Okay, Mr. Roberts, no questions. Thank you very much for being online and listening. Next we'll move to off-net, Ricky Geese. Ricky, are you there?
Yes, hi, my name is Ricky Geese. I'm the Executive Director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. You know, at this time, we're neutral on the appointment of Mr. Huntington. We haven't really had an opportunity to interact with him at all. But from you know, you all had good questions on the for Mr. Huntington. I thought he answered them in a fair and honest manner. He cleared up some what could be some troubling questions and issues for us. And at this point, although we're neutral, I really liked his reply, saying that he's going to base his decisions on science. And as long as somebody looks at science and makes sure that we're conserving fish and fish come first in the resource, and then we listen to communities and we figure out how to allocate the surplus, that's what you need in a Board of Fisheries members. That's what we want in Board of Fisheries members. So at this point, although we're neutral, I'm looking forward to sitting down with Mr. Huntington in the future and talk about our local issues here in South Central Alaska. And that's about what I'll say at this time. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Geese? Seeing none, thank you, Ricky. We'll move on down off net to Reuben Henke. Reuben, are you online there?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, please.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Reuben Henke. I'm from Soldotna. My wife and I own and operate a fishing business on the Kenai River. Like Mr. Geese had said, Mr. Chairman, we haven't had a chance as yet to interact with Mr. Huntington at all, but we plan to do that in the not-too-distant future. So right now we're kind of sitting in a neutral position, but I, too, was impressed with the answers that Mr. Huntington provided for the committee, and look forward to speaking with him and talking more about our issues in South Central. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to speak.
Questions of Reuben? Seeing none, thank you very much for testifying, Reuben. Next, we'll go to Melvin Grove. Melvin, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Yes, sir. My name is Melvin Grove. I live in Big Lake, Alaska. I'm the president of the Prince William Sound Charter Boat Association, member of the Mad Valley AC, board member of the Alaska Outdoor Council, president of Prince Alaska Outdoor Access Alliance. So, anyway, I'm not testifying today on behalf of any of those organizations. I'm here testifying on behalf of myself. And unfortunately, I missed some of Mr. Huntington's comments there. I guess from reading the bio that I received, I was concerned about the native preference. It seemed like that was listed in there that Mr. Arno had discussed earlier, and I was in agreement with his comments. But it is, if he does believe that all Alaskans are considered subsistence users, I would, you know, I would support his nomination. But you know, I just, that's something that needs to be, I believe, needs to be a basis for anybody that's on the Board of Fish. It's a core principle in my mind that all Alaskans are considered subsistence users when there's a harvestable surplus, and we should all get to participate. And so, again, if I haven't got a chance to really hear a lot about Mr. Huntington, but as long as those beliefs, he does believe in that core principle, I would support his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grove. Any questions of Mr. Grove? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Rose Fosdick, calling in out of Nome. Rose, are you there?
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Hi. Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also to the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Rose Fosdick, and I am here in Nome, Alaska, representing Kwak Incorporated, which is a nonprofit regional organization representing 20 communities in Northwest Alaska. I'm calling in to support Orville Huntington's nomination to the Board of Fisheries. He is a lifelong resident of Alaska from Huthia. We believe he's knowledgeable in subsistence fishing ways and methods of harvest and processing. We know he understands the Yukon River and knows the salmon population history, migrations, and health. From previous experience, we know that he also has been very involved and experienced the policies and procedures of the Board of Fisheries from the public side. in his many efforts to express the needs and make changes to regulations. Not only he is knowledgeable in scientific information, but because of his background and experience in the rural communities, like many people in the rural communities who greatly depend on natural resources to survive, he is very knowledgeable about traditional knowledge and experience of the local people in natural resources. Therefore, Clark fully supports Orla Huntington's nomination. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fosdick. Anybody else? Anybody have any questions for Ms. Fosdick? Thank you very much, Rose, for your testimony. We'll go down the list here. Andy Szczesinski, are you online, Andy?
Yes, it's Szczesny. It's pronounced just like it's spelled. My name's Andy Szczesny. I'm from Soldotna, Alaska, and I think I'm going to support this gentleman. I don't know him personally, but from what I've heard from him and his the way he's speaking, that I think that he'd probably be a fine board member. Thank you very much.
Questions, Mr. Szczesny. Sorry, I got that wrong.
That's fine.
Any questions?
It's a joke.
Thank you, Andy, very much. Next, we have Mike Kramer. Mike, are you online?
I am.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
My name is Mike Kramer. I'm a long-term member of the Fairbanks Advisory Committee, although I'm not speaking on behalf of the Advisory Committee today. I'm the Fisheries Subcommittee Chairman for many years. And I don't have a position on Mr. Huntington. I haven't met the gentleman. I am concerned, as most folks are from the interior, that we have a strong interior voice on the Board of Fish. We'd like to have an actual Fairbanks a member on the board that understands local interior fisheries issues. Sounds like Mr. Huntington has a very good grasp of Yukon River issues, which is of very much importance to folks that live in the interior. I am very much concerned, as was Mr. Arnault, about the comments attributed to Mr. Huntington concerning Aboriginal rights. And at this point, I look forward to meeting with Mr. Huntington and learning more about his views on those issues. And at this point, I just urge the committee to ensure that the interior has adequate representation on the Board of Fisheries. Thank you.
Questions to Mr. Kramer? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Kramer. Next we'll go to Holly Van Pelt, calling in from Homer. Holly, are you there?
Either way for Mr. Huntington.
Yes, this is a testimony on Mr. Huntington. Holly, if you'd place your name on the record and your affiliation, we'll hear your testimony.
I'm calling on behalf of testimony to Carl Johnstone.
Okay.
Not to Mr. Huntington.
On the list here for Orville Huntington. Hang on the line, and we'll get to Mr. Johnstone in a little while.
Yeah, they just put me here. I have no idea why.
All right, we'll move on down the list to Heath Hilliard. Heath, are you there?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am here. I had actually originally planned on only testifying Mr. Johnstone, but I would add with regard to Mr. Huntington that I think Mr. Geese, for the record, I'm sorry, Heath Hilliard, Executive Director for SIGO. I wanted just to say that I think that Mr. Geese's comments with regard to Orville Huntington closely match those of SIGO. It sounds like Mr. Huntington is very willing to approach fisheries management decisions based on the science, and that's really one of the most critical things about a board member. So with that, I'll just say we're neutral, but we were encouraged by some of the things that we heard Mr. Huntington elaborate on with regard to some of his qualifications and his positions.
All right, Mr. Hilliard, I thank you very much for your testimony also. I have one more that has signed up online to talk about Mr. Huntington, and it is George Pierce out of Kasiloff. George, are you there?
Hear me?
Yes, give us your name and affiliation, and we'll hear your testimony.
My name is George Pierce. I live in Kasiloff, Alaska, and I'm representing myself. the decision, I don't know, Mr. Huntington, this is your decisions, but I would like to point out on the decisions that you make on this fishery, we happen to have a problem here with the fish board. We've had a number of problems with representation. We get no representation here. This is a personal use fishery that I'm talking about. The fish board today is influenced heavily by outsiders and special interest groups like the Kenai Sport Fishing Association. This fish board is, the fish board should have science, biology people on that, and people from all over the state that represent the people. When you get a fish board that represents only one sport fishing association, which doesn't represent the people, they represent outsiders, non-residents. I'm a resident, and I wish that you seriously look into and evaluate these people that you're about to appoint to this fish board and make it a fair fish board. It should be science and not politically motivated, and it's all politically motivated. Our governor has proven over and over and over the choices that he makes aren't very good ones. So we need for you people, you gentlemen right there in that room, to step up and fix this corruption in the fish board. So that's all I have to say there, and thank you for listening to the testimony, and sure we'll do this for the Alaskans and not the non-residents. Thank you.
Questions of Mr. Pierce? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Pierce. Is there anybody else online or in the room that would like to talk, testify to the confirmation of Arvel Huntington to the Board of Fish? Seeing none, public testimony is closed, and we're back to the committee. Committee, have any other questions of Mr. Huntington, or do you have any discussion? Seeing none,
I'll take one. That's my signal, that pen.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If Mr. Huntington is still on the line, I would like to see if I could get him to clarify the comment made by Mr. Grove a minute ago that all Alaskans are considered to be subsistence users. How do you feel about that, Orville?
Mr. Huntington, are you there?
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry that old document came out. I think I wrote that about 20 years ago. It was when I was working for Fish and Wildlife Service, and I just got out of college, and it was pretty going over the board back then. But since then, I've been pretty, I've learned a lot from my Uncle Sidney about the rights of everyone in the state, and actually I'm a good friend of Rod Arnold as well. I didn't think he'd remember me from that bear conference, but he said I reminded him of Uncle Sidney then. So, yeah, I'm in support of all subsistence people getting their fair share. I don't think there's any question about that, though. I don't even think that's an issue, but it just was something that was written a long time ago that's still in one of my resumes.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else have any questions of Mr. Huntington? We're back to the committee. Any comments or discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to our next person, Carl Johnstone. Is he online? And I must let you know that I had a lot of people that were on my sheet signed up to talk to Orville Huntington's confirmation, and I got a feeling that some of those were also meant to be on Carl Johnstone's. So I have a new list now, so we'll back up and start with those. Mr. Johnstone, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Yeah, if you'd place yourself on the record and tell us a bit about yourself and your qualifications to serve on the Board of Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Carl Johnstone. I live in Anchorage. I came to Alaska directly out of law school in 1967 and quickly discovered that Alaska was a place for me for a lot of reasons, not the least of which were its career opportunities, but mostly its outdoor opportunities. I've been a resident ever since. I plan on being a resident in the indefinite foreseeable future. I practiced law until 79 when I was appointed by Governor Hammond to the Superior Court, where I served until the late 90s. In the last 4 years, I served as a presiding judge of the 3rd Judicial District, and thereafter, I had a limited practice as a mediator, arbitrator, and lawyer until I was appointed to the Board of Fish in December 2008 to serve out a board member's term after he had left prior to its expiration. I was then appointed to a full 3-year term in 2009 and served in that capacity ever since. In October last year, I was elected as chairman of the Board of Fish. When I was first appointed to the board, Mr. Chairman, I thought that I knew quite a bit about the fishery resources of the state. I had commercial fish with limited entry permits in Bristol Bay for salmon, and southeast for herring, and Prince William Sound for herring as well. And I realized very shortly after I got to the board that I did not know as much as I thought. I was uninformed and faced a very steep learning curve. But over time, with much work, I'm starting to get it. As many of you would probably attest, the first year of your career on the legislature, they're somewhat difficult, but after going through the process a few times, things do begin to make sense. And this is particularly true for a fish board member, where it takes 3 years to complete a full cycle where all fisheries in the state are covered at least once. In most cases, a board member who completes a full term becomes a better member and can do a better job. I feel that with my background and my experience on the job, I'm in that category, and I'm willing to serve the state another term. I find the job very challenging, if not particularly enjoyable. The state has been very good to me and my family, and I feel that this is an opportunity I can give something back in a constructive manner, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Johnstone. Committee members, questions? Representative Herron.
Yes, Mr. Johnstone, I've never met you, and all I've seen on occasional news report when you were acting on some court case as a judge. So you outlined there that it is a difficult job, and you enjoy it, though. So were you, did the governor ask you, or did you ask the governor to serve a second term? Full term.
Well, the first term I served was 1 year. I didn't ask for that job. In fact, I turned it down when the policy advisor Campbell and I think it was Crum at the time and Frank Bailey asked me. I turned it down initially, and then the governor herself asked me if I'd take it. I said yes, and then my name was put in because I'd only served one term for the first full 3-year term, and I did not object. Of course, I was willing to do it. And let me make myself clear. I did not say I enjoyed this job. I said it's not enjoyable. I think it's challenging. I can't say that it's an enjoyable job. It's engaging. It's challenging. It's worthwhile. It's doing good work. But sometimes it's not as fun as I would like it to be.
Follow-up question, Representative Herron.
Mr. Johnstone, I've received a lot of emails about your appointment for yet another 3 years, and most of the time, to be perfectly honest, it's about having a Board of Fish member that, quote-unquote, commutes from the lower 48. Could you please comment on that?
Well, I appreciate that question. It's not the first time I've heard it. I heard it 3 years ago during the House and Senate Resources Committee, something questioning my residency. I probably as informed on this as most people on what a resident is, and having decided a lot of those issues as a judge and as a lawyer representing individuals, I think I'm knowledgeable about what's required to be a resident. I don't commute back and forth. When I retired from the bench, my interest in the winters was starting to wane a little bit. I decided to get outside where I could be a little more active, and so I bought a home in Prescott, Arizona, and we spend some of the winters in Prescott, Arizona. But I maintain my voting residency in Alaska. I have done so forever. I registered my cars in Alaska. I have a resident hunting and fishing license. I've conducted all my business in Anchorage. I've owned a home in Anchorage since 1968, and the recent few years, I've received a permanent fund dividend, and it's been my intent, and it will remain my intent, to be a resident. It's because I own a home in Prescott,
does not, in my opinion, nor do I believe legally in any way, mean I'm not a resident. I just am able to live down here during the cold winter months, and it's a little bit better for me, I think, and my family. There are thousands of Alaskans that do things that I do, similar to what I do, they don't lose their residency. They still retain the residency. While I'm not there full-time, I'm certainly enough to constitute a resident. And I don't in any way do something inconsistent in another state. I don't receive a benefit as a resident from some other state. I don't get a tax benefit or a real estate tax exemption, or do I vote, or do I get resident hunting licenses, or do I register cars. So it's my choice to live some of the cold winters, since I've lived up with so many of them outside, where it's a little warmer. I understand there's a fair number of people who do it, including some legislators.
Just a brief follow-up, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your indulgence. Mr. Johnstone, is that I have friends that don't apply for permanent funds, so they don't get called to jury duty. Have you applied for a PFD in the last couple of years?
Yes, I received a PFD within the last 3 years. I applied and received PFDs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
3 years.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Carl, for being online and for serving on this board in this capacity. Earlier today, I sent you copies of copies of things that were written opposing your confirmation to the board for a second term. Did you receive those?
No, Representative Kawasaki, did not.
Okay. Well, I'll just say what's here, and we can make copies for the rest of the members, but I think every member received this information today, and I kind of just wanted to go over some of the allegations that were made. This was a several-page document with allegations of improprieties and other things dealing with your home both in Arizona and your home in Anchorage. It wasn't signed, and so when things aren't signed and people just throw out this sort of random stuff and won't put a signature to it, I don't usually trust it, but I wanted to make sure that you have it, and I'll try to make sure that you get this before the House Resources Committee takes it up. Carl, one of the things that it mentions here is that the fact that you winter in Arizona for 8 months out of the year. I think we've addressed that. The second point is that it says in the last 2 years the Board of Fisheries has met in Anchorage for a total of 43 days. During the time that you were in Anchorage, you collected per diem and per diem while you were there in Anchorage, and I'd like to ask you if that's true, and maybe extenuating circumstances as to why that was necessary.
Well, I'd be happy to answer that question. I've addressed this on several occasions in the last 30 days after an article came out in the Journal of Commerce and after Director Kevin Brooks addressed it. After my first two meetings in Petersburg and Sitka in 2009, I realized that my job, similar to your job as lawmaker, does not start at 8 in the morning and end at 5 like so many jobs do. There are countless hours spent outside of these so-called normal working hours. After having spent quite a bit of time with stakeholders and the public, other board members, staff members, until the late evening hours trying to get more information, be lobbied, having breakfast early in the morning, like 6 o'clock for the same purposes, I asked the executive director of the board support for the Department of Fish and Game, what was the policy? Was I supposed to stay in Anchorage during meetings that were conducted in Anchorage, or was I supposed to go home? And I let him know that I lived about 15 miles away from where the board meetings were typically being held, and on the hillside, and that it would be my preference if I was supposed to go home. I'd go home immediately after the board meeting at 5 o'clock, and I'd come in time for it to start at 8, but I didn't want to be around in the evening. I didn't want to be wined and dined and stay up late and have meetings and only to find myself fatigued and driving home at 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening. I was told that it would be preferred for me to stay there, that if I stayed there, it had happened before, other board members who lived in the city where a meeting took place, other state employees were in a meeting or in a location where they lived, they received their hotels and they received per diem. I said, well, okay, I'll be happy to do that. I never asked for anything, I never demanded anything, but apparently I was issued a waiver at the request of the board support executive director from the rule that under normal circumstances prohibited paying for a hotel member or per diem when attending a meeting in the city he lived in. It was issued by Kevin Brooks, who is the administrative director of the ADF&G, because as he stated in response to a reporter's question, that he found it was in the best interest of the state if I would stay around and participate in these meetings. I thought it was a good idea for me to stay around. I thought that was expected of me. I gathered lots of information, and I really didn't want to drive home, which would take about a half an hour to 45 minutes, depending on the condition of the road in the winters, and this takes place during the winters, and the time of day. I didn't want to drive home at 10 or 11 o'clock. I didn't think it would be safe for me. I would be taking time driving back and forth that I could be using, maybe studying in my hotel room or meeting with the public or stakeholders. That was issued by the Kevin Brooks. I really just was following the procedure and the policy that was set forth for me. I hope that answers your question, Representative Kawasaki.
Yep, that's fine.
Follow up?
Yeah, actually, well, so there's a... Since you don't have this in front of you, I feel bad just leaving it on you. Maybe I'll just make sure that you get copies of this before before the next time we see you.
Other committee members have questions to Mr. Johnstone? Seeing none, then thank you, Mr. Johnstone. We're going to open this up now for public testimony. In the room, we have signed up Bill Brown. Bill, if you'd please come forward and place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Bill Brown, and I'm currently the vice chair of the Board of Fisheries. I was appointed by Governor Palin in 2008 and reappointed by Governor Parnell this last year. I met Carl Johnstone in 2008. We've served together on the board for 4 years. I feel that I know him very well. I can give him only the strongest possible recommendation. He comes to meetings extremely well prepared. We often have 2,000 pages to read for a meeting, and then we get more material at the meeting. For the last year, I've been sitting next to him at the meetings, and I'm amazed how many notes he brings in to the meeting that he's prepared before the meeting. I mean, I read the stuff too, but he studies it more than I do. We need that on the board. He is extremely fair. He considers all sides of every issue, and he has a unique background in both commercial and sports fishing. There are times he's brusque, but he listens to people, and he spends a lot of time with stakeholders. I can't tell you how many times I've said, let's go have dinner tonight, Carl, and he says, I can't do it. I've got to meet with USITA, or I've got to meet with the subsistence guys. I've got to meet with this group. That's what he does. He has more energy than I do, and he's a few years older than I am. As a chair, he runs meetings efficiently and does everything to get information and let everyone have their say. Often, we're on different sides of issues. As you probably know, that a large number of the votes on the board are 7-0. Everyone agrees yes or no. For those votes that are 4-3 or 5-2, I would guess a quarter of the time he and I vote differently. But I respect his votes. He explains it well, and I learn from him. I think it's vital for the board to have members with broad knowledge and a broad perspective. We need to have members from all over the state. We need to have members with commercial fishing, members with history of knowledge of assistance issues. We need to have this broad knowledge that we've got so many issues to bring. To deliberate on. I think I bring scientific and statistical background that helps the board. What Carl Johnston brings is his legal expertise. Every year we have several legal issues that we have to deal with. We have lawsuits that have gone to the board. He takes the head on those. Without him on the board, we just couldn't do it. In the next year or two, we're going to have a huge issue with Kutsunu. He's already on top of that. He's reading that. We'll be ready to make the right judgment on that. I give him the highest possible recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Questions from the council or from the committee members for Mr. Brown? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to the Fairbanks LIO. We have Reed Mariski. Reed, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead and place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Okay, this is Reed Mariski, Fairbanks, Alaska, representing myself today. I'm a sport fishing guide in the interior here. My wife and I own a sport fishing guide business and have for several years here in Fairbanks. I'm here today to speak in favor of Mr. Johnstone for being confirmed as a board fish member. Carl has proven that his decision-making process is even-handed. I've been to several Board of Fish meetings, and I've been very impressed at how he conducts himself and his decision-making process. I do not consider Carl to be a pro or anti sport fishing board member, nor a pro or anti commercial fishing board member. I consider him to be a even-handed, well-considered board member that takes everyone's background and insight into consideration. He understands and applies the principles of the Alaska Constitution and the Board of Fish process. Because of this, I support the confirmation of Mr. Johnstone to the Board of Fish. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mariski. Questions of Mr. Mariski? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony, Reed. Next, we'll go to the Matsu LIO. Howard Dello, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Okay, my name is Howard Dello. I'm a member of the Matanuska Sioux Sitna Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission. I'm a past member of the Board of Fish, and I want to speak in support of Carl Johnstone's reappointment, reconfirmation to the Board of Fish. I served with Carl for about a year and a half as a fellow board member, and I have to echo, Mr. Brown's statements about Carl's preparedness. I was amazed at how much time he spent reviewing the data and information and reports that were given to board members. Mr. Brown commented on 2,000 pages of material as common. Some of the board meetings over a three-year period, it was more like 4,000 pages, and then what came in the meeting. And Carl was familiar with all of that stuff. He studied it. He thought about it. He talked to people he felt had knowledge about it. He listened to staff members. He talked to other board members. He was about probably one of the more knowledgeable people on the board, oftentimes on any given issue. The other thing that I was impressed in watching him do was, with his judicial background, I believe, he learned how to cut to the chase. And in deliberations and sometimes in public testimony, somebody would be talking about something and he would have an idea of what they were trying to say or the points they were trying to make, and he would immediately cut to the chase and ask a very pointed, direct question. And he did the same with department staff oftentimes, too, to try and draw out exactly the point that they were trying to make or the clarification they were trying to present. Carl, in addition to being very well prepared, he also has always put the resource first. Board members, as was stated by other people that have testified before me, they are not sport fish advocates. They are not commercial fisheries advocates. They are not personal use or subsistence advocates. Their first obligation is to make sure the resource itself is taken care of. And Carl always did that. And if the department then presented information indicating that there was a harvestable surplus available for allocation, I was always impressed with how even-handed Carl was in trying to allocate it in as fair a manner as was possible, given the many different user groups that are involved in any given fisheries resource. It's not a simple matter in this allocation process. As Mr. Geese said earlier in his testimony about Mr. Huntington, I think Carl represents exactly what a board member should be doing. They're knowledgeable going into the meeting. They've studied the material. They are looking out for the resource first. And trust me, I can speak from personal experience. If you look out for the resource first, everybody hates you. So that's just the way it is. And Carl, I think, should be a member of the Board of Fish for a second term. As he stated, and it's my opinion also, it takes one term to get familiar with the fisheries. That board member then becomes even more valuable on a second term because they have that familiarity and they can start to get a little more in-depth in some of the nuances of the situations involving the various fisheries. And Carl has that ability now, and I firmly support his confirmation back to the board for a second term. Thank you, sir.
Questions to Howard? Hearing none, thank you very much for your testimony. We'll stay with the Matsu LIO. We'll next go to Andrew Couch. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead and place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
I'm Andrew Couch. I'm a member of the Matanuska Valley Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I've been a member of the Matsu Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission. I'm a fishing guide in the Matsu Valley, owner of the Fishtail River Guides. I'm a member of the Alaska Outdoor Council. I'm a member of Alaska Sport Fishing Association. I'm a member of the Matsu Anglers Club. And I'm representing myself. I'm not representing any of these organizations that most of them that I know of don't necessarily have a position that they've developed on Mr. Johnstone yet. So, and I am speaking in favor of confirming Mr. Johnstone to another term to the Board of Fisheries. I've seen Mr. Johnstone come to the Matsu Valley for some of the meetings we've had here concerning fisheries, not Board of Fisheries meetings, but just show up here so that he had a little bit more knowledge of what people were feeling about fisheries issues in the Matsu Valley. At the Board of Fisheries, Mr. Johnstone has definitely looked at conservation of the resource. We've had stock of concern issues in the Matsu Valley, significant stock of concern issues, and we've got two species of fish with stock of concern designations right now, and we're very likely, if something doesn't change, we could be looking at another stock of concern issue here. Mr. Johnstone helped address some of those issues. We're still dealing with them. At the same time, I've submitted and supported proposals for the Board of Fisheries that several of which Mr. Johnstone had different views on, and several of which he didn't support, several of which did not pass through the Board of Fisheries process. But as has been mentioned about Mr. Johnstone, I feel he's been very well prepared. I've respected his positions that he's taken, and I'm fully in support of him serving another term on the Board of Fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Couch. I don't see any questions at this time. Thank you for your testimony. We'll stay with the Matsu LIO. Bruce Knowles, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I'm representing myself today, but I serve on the Susitna Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I've been part of the advisory committee for probably 15, 16 years. I serve on the Matsu Borough Sportsman's Group. And I want to say that Judge Johnstone is probably one of the top five people I've seen sit on the Board of Fisheries in the last 20 years. His ability to get to the point of the issue, point of the problem, is really dramatic, and he is not afraid of stepping on toes to get there. When he sees that there's an answer that needs to come out and it's not wanting to come out, he knows how to get it out of people. And at the last board cycle, I believe that it was his direct results that we received action on issues that have been going for 15, 20 years in the Cook Inlet area. So he is a dynamic leader, and I think the next 3 years we will see nothing but positive work out of him for our resources. And right now, I think everybody that serves on the Board of Fisheries should look at the resource as number one. And that's all I've got to say.
Bruce, if you'd please state your name for the record. I didn't get that at the start.
Okay, it's Bruce Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S.
All right. I don't see any questions, Bruce. Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Melvin Grove. Melvin, are you there?
Chairman, my name is Melvin Grove. I live here in Big Lake, Alaska. I run a charter out of Valdez, and I participated in numerous Board of Fish meetings. I guess I should say I'm affiliated with or president of the Prince William Sound Charter Boat Association. Alaska Outdoor Access Alliance, a committee member with Andy here on the Mad Valley AC. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I'm here representing myself today. And I guess I'm going to, you know, I guess jump ship from the other guy's testimony here. You know, I respect Mr. Johnstone. He is a professional. I think he runs a great meeting at the Board of Fish. But one of the things, I guess, that I have always disagreed with is, and I forget what year it was, we had the Chitina dipnet fishery, and the no vote that would turn that back into subsistence fishery for those that have participated in that fishery for decades, to me showed a lack of a core value that all Alaskans are subsistence users. And that was, I think it's a core principle that I think Mr. Johnstone lacks, and maybe it's a personal, philosophy. But I think that philosophy, runs through many of the folks that I know. And that in itself, although he is, seems to be very fair in a number of his decisions, that core principle seems to be lacking, that, you know, we are all subsistence users, and as Alaskans we come first over commercial use. A lot of people say, well, the resource is fully allocated, and I agree, but it's fully allocated to the public, and Alaskans come first. And we should at least have our fair share first when it comes to that. And we've had numerous discussions at many Board of Fish meetings concerning that issue. So I'll just end it with that and saying at this time I would like to just see somebody on the board that has that core principle and core value that we as Alaskans come first as subsistence users.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Grove. I don't see any questions, so thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll move to the Kenai LIO, Roland Ma. Roland, are you online?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony on the confirmation of Carl Johnstone.
Yes, my name is Roland Ma. I live at Kasiloff, Alaska, and today I'll be representing myself. And fully aware that Mr. Johnstone's listening. I guess some observations that I would make is that it appears that from time to time, I think there are some suitability issues that come up. I've seen various users from the public have some discussions with him, and he has been very short with members of the public, and and I know he's been short, and ended up in some rather loud discussions with numerous people from our community down here, and seems to be not too tolerant for some of the input that they're trying to give to Mr. Johnstone. So I think there are some suitability issues, and if he can get those issues taken care of and not repeat that behavior, why, you know, we may have a positive experience in the future. But in the past, it's, I think there are some suitability and some temperament issues there that I think leave a huge question mark as to whether or not he should have a second term. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ma. Next, we'll go to Mike Crawford.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Crawford. I'm the current chairman of the Kenai Soldotna Fish and Game Advisory Committee. I'm also the president of Safari Club on the Kenai Peninsula. I'll be speaking for myself today. In that position, I've been to numerous Board of Fish and Board of Game meetings. I've always found Mr. Johnstone to be well-prepared and informed on issues. His legal background, his pork fish background, his confish background have always helped. He runs a very organized and direct meeting, keeps it on time as much as possible. He's always available before, during, and after, during the breaks and everything else at the Board of Fish meetings. I think he's done a good job at that position, and I'd like to see him continue on, and I'd like to continue my support with Mr. Johnstone on the Board of Fish. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. I don't see any questions. We'll go on down the list. Joe Connors.
Yeah, I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, your name and affiliation. We'll hear your testimony.
I'm Joe Connors. I live on the Kenai River in Sterling, have for the last 40 years. This is my residence. Since I retired from teaching at the University of Alaska Anchorage, my entire life centers around living on the Kenai River and what I do there. I am a lodge owner, and I do run a charter business. I've participated in just about all the committees and activities for the last 35 years, and I'd like to say that I'm extremely pleased with Mr. Johnston's behavior, his demonstrated behavior to date. I like his analytical skills, the way he breaks down arguments and kind of cuts to the chase, as alluded to by other people. I think he comes in more prepared than anybody I've seen in quite a few years. He's very, very knowledgeable. So, again, my position is in support simply based upon his demonstrated behavior. And I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Connors. I don't see any questions. Next, we have Monty Roberts. Monty.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Monty Roberts. I live in Soldotna, and I'll be representing myself. I have a long pedigree of all the little community groups that I support or attend, but I'll just stick to the Board of Fish classes that I've attended where Mr. Johnstone was present and presiding. We always felt like he understood or at least knew and read all the material that we presented to him, and he made a balanced and fair decision. Sometimes it was in our favor, sometimes it wasn't, but we appreciate the fact that he was always prepared, and that's the kind of people we'd like to have on the board, so I support him.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. I don't see any questions. Next we have David, hope I get this right, Gogia.
David Goja. I'm the president of Kenai River Professional Guide Association, longtime resident of Kenai. I have been to many Board of Fish processes, and just to keep this short, I echo Mr. Brown's and other members that have spoken here today about the positive influence that Carl Johnstone has on the Board of Fisheries. He's an easy person to talk to, accessible, and we appreciate his knowledge and feel that if he weren't on the Board of Fish, we would be lacking a great knowledge base there. So we appreciate your vote in supporting him. Thank you.
Mr. Goja, I really appreciate you calling in. I don't see any questions. Next, we'll move to the Petersburg LIO. We have Stan Malcolm on. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, place your name and affiliation on the record, and we'll hear your testimony on the confirmation of Carl Johnstone.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Stan Malcolm, and I will be brief. I am testifying today for the Petersburg Charter Boat Association in support of Mr. Carl Johnstone's reappointment and confirmation to the Board of Fisheries. Having attended all of the Southeast Board of Fisheries meetings since Mr. Johnstone was first appointed, I have no doubt that his primary concern is for the long-term sustainability of our resources, and his interest in how the department manages those resources is not just an automatic endorsement of their recommendations. His professionalism in how he conducts the board process as chair is the best I've seen in over 20 years of attending Board of Fisheries meetings. Mr. Johnstone brings a fair and reasoned approach to the decisions he makes regarding the state's resources and management, as well as how those decisions affect the different user groups. If he is not reconfirmed, it will be a loss for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malcolm. Now we'll go back and go to Ricky Geese. Are you there, Ricky?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I want to place your name on the record again, and we'll hear your testimony on the confirmation of Mr. Johnstone on the Board of Fish.
Yes, my name is Ricky Geese. I'm the Executive Director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. We're a 501c3 nonprofit fishery conservation organization here in Soldotna. We attend many Board of Fish meetings, both in Cook Inlet and around the state, and I would like to say that we're in full support of Carl Johnstone for reappointment to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. A couple things jump out about Mr. Johnstone. One, it's very evident that he is very well trained in his judicial background about seeking and eliciting input and information on the all the different viewpoints on a subject that come before the Board of Fisheries. He is very well prepared. I don't think I've seen a better prepared Board of Fishery members. You can have, for example, in Cook Inlet, we met for about over 2 weeks straight. Prior to the meeting, we had over, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pages of information prepping the meeting. I think he's probably the only board member who actually read through everything. And if you broach him on many different topics, he understood the issue and sought to elicit input from you on viewpoints and how it affected conservation and allocation amongst the users. In the past year as the chair, I've noticed three things that he's done that I think are improvements to the Board of Fisheries process. On contentious issues, he's set up a committee of the whole process that's been very good. He's trying to put policies and procedures in for reconsideration of votes and conflicts of interest. And a couple other things that I'd just like to point out. In terms of record building, Kenai River Sport Fishing at the last Board of Fisheries meeting had an instance where record building became very, very important. And why it is so important during the Board of Fisheries process to create a record of decision making, there were some interesting issues that came up, and what got into regulation was not exactly what we thought was approved and by the board in a vote. So when we went back through the audio tapes of the Board of Fisheries meeting, the testimony that was most useful to us during the Board of Fisheries deliberations was the record building that Carl Johnstone put on the record exactly on proposals, and he went line by line through the proposals, and he clarified both with the department and with legal about this is exactly what is meant, and when exactly what is meant didn't get into regulations, that is the record that we relied upon when we appealed that decision both to the commissioner and to the Board of Fisheries. So he's very thorough, he's very well prepared, and his legal knowledge is just a bonus to the board. I think his background in both commercial fisheries, the sport issues, and the personal use issues are very, very important and bring a wealth and a buoyancy to the board it is a very difficult board to serve on. I've watched a lot of people. I think many people underestimate the time and the effort and the intensity that it takes to work through this board process. And above none, I would consider him a gold standard for Board of Fisheries members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ricky. We'll move on down the line here to Ruben. Are you there, Ruben?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. My name is Ruben Hankey. I'm testifying for myself. My wife and I own a business on the Kenai River. I'd already stated that. In the interest of time here, I won't go over a lot of things. A lot of the things that I've had to say have already been said. But one of the things that I will say, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with now Chairman Johnstone in the Cook Inlet meeting, and had the pleasure of watching him in several meetings since that time of his appointment. The last two times that he's been on the board, the 1 year and then the 3 year term that he's now concluding. One of the things that I will say that hasn't been touched on is you know, Chairman Johnstone is a very approachable guy. You see in these meetings, the public, there's a lot of public people there. There's a lot of people trying to talk to board members. Sometimes board members have a tendency to hide behind what we call the sanctuary. But Chairman Johnstone is not afraid to come out, walk around in the public and talk with people, you know, during the breaks, after the meeting, before the meeting. He makes himself very accessible to folks. And, you know, that's a trait that we absolutely have to have in a public process. And since he's become chair, as Mr. Geese mentioned, you know, he's coming up with policies and procedures to make this a more transparent and open process at the board level, and that's something that this state and the people of this state want to see. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hankey. I don't see any questions. We'll move on down the line. Andy, are you there again?
Yes, my name is Andy Spesny. I'm representing myself. I'm a former Board of Fish member. And I'm going to be really short. Everyone's already said all the good things about Carl. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's probably one of the brightest and most prepared member that I've seen in 20 years. So I'm in favor of his confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chesney. Next we'll have Mike Kramer. Are you there, Mike?
Thank you, I am. I'm representing myself today. I support Mr. Johnstone's reappointment to the Board of Fisheries. I echo former member DeLo's comments about a board member's second term. I think it's very important to have that experience on the board, someone who's been through the complete cycle, that understands all the fisheries in the state. I don't always agree with Mr. Johnstone. I appreciate some of the procedural changes he's made on the Board of Fish. I think meetings are more efficient, more transparent, as people have said. And Mr. Johnstone's certainly a leader on the board, and I would support his reappointment. Thank you.
Yes, Mike, if you'd place your name on record one more time for the recording.
Mike Kramer.
Thank you very much, Mike. Holly Van Pelt, are you there?
My name is Holly Van Pelt, and I am speaking in representation of myself. I'm a 38-year resident of the state of Alaska, and I have participated in the charter fishing industry in the past. However, at this time, I am a recreational angler alone. I have testified and attended at many North Council meetings, and from that history, I have experienced the process, and I cannot stress to you how important it is to have a person in this decision-making person position that is a diligent and informed person that would put the resource first. In listening to the testimony, it seems to be predominant that people find him to be a well-informed and respected person and an efficient handler of the process. In that position, I'd like to see him reinstated so that we can have a transparent and well-functioning Board of Fish.
Thank you very much, Ms. Van Pelt. We appreciate your testimony. Heath Hilliard, are you there?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to address the House Fisheries Committee again. For the record, my name is Heath Hilliard. I'm the Executive Director of SeaGale, the Southeast Alaska Guides Organization, representing charter operators and sport anglers throughout Southeast Alaska. I want to reflect what has been said by a number of individuals, including Ricky Geese and Ruben Hankey and Mr. DeLo, Mr. Brown, et cetera, and our unqualified support for Mr. Johnstone's reappointment to the Board of Fisheries. I just want to relate a personal experience coming from Ketchikan from the Southeast meeting recently in March of this year. That was the first Board of Fisheries that I had, meeting that I had attended in my position as the executive director for CEGO. And so I really didn't know exactly what to expect, but I just wanted to relay just a personal experience insofar as while I was fortunate enough to have a number of board members from CEGO who had gone through Board of Fisheries meetings and processes and could kind of advise me as to what was happening, Mr. Johnstone on numerous occasions availed himself to me to help me understand some of the process and what can be expected. And when we get to the issue of fairness and equity and the merits of issues, there was one particular proposal that CEGO had proposed with regard to change in allocation for commercial self-rock fish in Southeast Alaska. And, you know, I made the, I approached Mr. Johnstone to kind of explain where we were coming from and what we thought were the merits of the issue. And while listening intently and being respectful of my position, simply said, you know, Mr. Hilliard, I appreciate where you're coming from. However, I don't see that there's sufficient evidence to warrant a reallocation at this time. And then later on, we had several other proposals in which he did support. And in every circumstance, Mr. Johnstone demonstrated to us that it was really about what the science said and the best interests of the resources they were expected to manage. And I can't say any better stated what I've heard from other people, but he shows up prepared and he's engaged with the public and the stakeholders, and we wholeheartedly support his reappointment to the Board of Fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hilliard, for your testimony. We have one more person here on the list. Mr. Pierce from Kisilov. Mr. Pierce, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Place your name in Philly.
I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I spoke earlier about the credibility of this fish board. I'm against this person being put on this fish board. The fish board, in my opinion, needs to be investigated here. And, you know, it's awful funny how the Fish and Game Board members, the sport fishing guides, and them special interest groups, do you notice how they're calling up there? They want to keep this gentleman in there because they all go along. We need scientists and biologists on this fish board. You're hurting all these fish guides that are representing them. Have you heard him ask anybody about the residents, the personal use fishery, prepared? How prepared is he on issues if he's only here part-time? And it's just amazing how he's, the sport fishing guides all testified in his behalf. We need to break this system up here. The personal use fishery. This board, I testified a couple years ago about this personal use fishery. It's a bad fishery. It's overfished. It kills the habitat. It kills people. And they don't address it. They don't look out for the residents of this state. They look out for special interest groups and the money people. You talk about wine and dine. We don't need them wined and dined. The next thing they are, they're here on the Kenai River having lunch and barbecues with the Sport Fishing Association. We need scientists, gentlemen, and it's up to you to break this chain here. And a board member, they should be available 12 months out of the year. They should be here for these, not living out somewhere else. So I urge you, do not appoint this gentleman. I know everybody's but a few has testified how great he is. We don't need judges to make our fishing decisions. We need biologists and somebody that's going to represent the Alaskans. So, gentlemen, please do us some good here. You're our only hope to change this cycle, and maybe we can get somebody on our fish board that's going to do what's right. Look at the fish proposals that are, it's amazing. Go to one of these fish, this fish board will not even come down here to the Kenai River, where 90% of these fish proposals are. Why don't they come down here? This is a slap in the face for the residents of the Kenai Peninsula, and they can't even have a voice unless they go to maybe Ketchikan or Anchorage or somewhere where people can't go except for the special interest groups. That's who's controlling this. We need to stop it. Thank you very much.
Yes, would you please state your name for the recorder? I forgot to get you to do that.
My name is George Pierce. I'm from Kosilof, Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Any questions? Seeing none. Is there anybody else in the room or online that would like to testify to the confirmation of Carl Johnstone to the State Board of Fisheries? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. The committee would like to thank Mr. Johnstone and Mr. Huntington for joining us this evening and for their willingness to serve. We appreciate their dedication very much. Is there any further discussion from the members regarding these appointments? Then, without objection, the House Special Committee on Fisheries, having reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees, will forward Mr. Johnstone and Mr. Huntington's names on to the joint session of the legislature for confirmation by the full body. If members would please wait to sign the committee report, and remember, please note that signing this report does not reflect a member's intent to vote for or against either of the appointees for the purpose of confirmation. This concludes our confirmation hearings for this evening, and the Fish Committee has no further meeting scheduled at this time. The time is now 6:28 p.m., and I adjourn this meeting.